And today marks an important date for one person in particular here, and I'm here in studio with Catherine Ebert. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
How do you feel about turning 100? You're probably tired of answering that question.
Well, I find it boring that your age is the most interesting thing about you.
Well, I know that was one interesting thing about you, so I wanted to find out some more things, because since I've been here at WATD for 30 years, which is a scary number, I've heard, you know, I've met you numerous times over the years and spoke with you a few times here and there, and I wanted to get a little bit more of your perspective on life and things like that. Now, you were born in 1921. Were you born in Boston? Were you born in New York City? Tell me a little bit about where you were born.
I was born in Germany.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I came over when I was about two with my mother. Mm-hmm. My father had come over earlier, and then he sent for us.
Do you remember anything about those early years? I know sometimes those early years people don't remember.
Well, the only thing I remember is when we came over, we settled somewhere in the Bronx. And in those days, Yiddish was widely spoken. My mother had an apartment next door to a Jewish woman who helped my mother enormously, because with her Yiddish, she understood the German, and my mother couldn't speak English. Mm-hmm. She had just come over. So she remembers her as having been so nice to her and so helpful.
That's great. Now, was your first language German, or did you always?
German. Oh, no, German.
Right. Well, now, were you bilingual? Could you speak both languages as a child?
No, only to when we came here. Mm-hmm. And when we settled here, of course, when you're with English-speaking children, you only speak English.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you spoke German at home, too.
Yes, we spoke German
okay.
at home.
Okay. Are you still fluent in German? A little bit?
No, but I can get along.
Oh, that's pretty good. Now, tell me a little bit about what it was like when you were born in 1921. You're talking about you were born in the years before the Great Depression. What are your first memories of life here in the United States?
Well, we lived in the country, in a small country road. And my father, in Germany, the boys were all set up with apprenticeship for some kind of trade.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a butcher, and he had a grocery and butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
He always had his own business. He didn't want to work for anyone else. And my mother helped. And we lived in Paramus on a country road.
And that's New Jersey, Paramus, New Jersey?
In Paramus, New
okay.
Jersey. Which, long before it was a mall.
That's right. I mean, it's pretty developed, that area now.
Yeah, no. It was all country. And on a street called Farview Avenue, which was appropriately named because we could see all the way to New York City.
Wow.
From where we lived, at a wonderful view.
Now, I heard you were a pretty good student in school. Tell me about that.
Right. Well, New Jersey wanted to get, during the Depression, New Jersey wanted to try to get some people to go to college. So they had a test for the state college, full scholarship, 10 places. I took the test and got one, and that's how I got to college. Otherwise, I never would have, could never have afforded it.
And now you were what? Did you major in math? Were you a mathematics major?
Yeah, in college I was a math major.
And you pass that ability on to your kids. I know your daughters are both very good in mathematics, too. That's impressive. Now, when you got out of college, were you a teacher or did you go on to graduate school? What did you do?
No, I got a job. My first job was with DuPont as a physicist, because
mm-hmm.
I'm managing physics. And then I got other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So
that sounds, I mean, that was for your time. I mean, there were probably very few women physicists in the United States at that time.
Right.
That's
I wasn't a great physicist, but
that's pretty exciting. Now, when did you get married along the way, and did you still keep working?
I met John at work. At one point, I worked for the Polytechnic Institute of Brooklyn. I worked in a lab, and then I got a job teaching at the college, teaching advanced calculus. And I met John. He was there working in the lab.
Now, what kind of expectations were there for women in those days? I mean, you talked about you were, you know, very lucky to get to take the test, do well, and get to college. There were very different expectations for women in those days about going to college and working.
Right.
Did people ever ask you, like, well, why are you going to college? Aren't you just going to get married?
No, and the type of people I met were very nice, and they were not denigrating to women or anything like that.
That's great. And then, so what are...
I never felt that.
Now, did you keep working after you had your two daughters?
I worked at night some, and then I went back to work eventually, yeah.
Were you still working as a physicist and things like that?
No. I worked at the Polytechnic Institute of Brooklyn, and then I got into teaching, and I taught calculus and advanced calculus. Mm-hmm. And then after I had the children, I taught at night, and I taught GIs after they came. I had many GIs at night, and they were very touching because they were very hardworking, studied very hard, were very intent on what they were doing.
Now, were these GIs part of the? Were they able to do this as part of the GI Bill after World War II?
Right.
Which reminds me, what are some of the biggest moments? I mean, it's hard to pick that out. Are there maybe three standout moments that you remember in the past 100 years? I mean, maybe like the bombing of Pearl Harbor, something like that?
No, but the Lindbergh flight. Since we lived, as I said, Farley Hill Avenue, we could see all the way to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood there in front, stood on the street and watched Lindbergh come in and land at Teterboro, because we could see it straight through to Teterboro.
Lucky Lindy up in the air. That is really pretty impressive. What about the secret to a long life? It seems like many people that you talk to, because you're in good shape, you're in good health, and when you talk to people, it seems like it's either the people that are super healthy eaters, like I only eat green beans and I exercise 5 hours a day, or you get the other side where they say, no, I have a shot of whiskey every day and a cigar. That's my secret to long life. What is your secret to long life?
Your ancestors. It's just my father's brothers in Germany lived to be 104, 105.
Wow. So you got good genes.
I think that's, you know, unless you act badly in your life. You know?
That's right. Now, do you have a sister that's still alive, too?
Oh, yeah.
And how old is she?
She's 10 years younger than I am.
Okay, so she's your kid's sister.
Oh, yeah. I just saw her last week. She had a big party for me. She lives up in Cooperstown, New York.
By the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's where that is, I think, in Cooperstown.
Oh, right.
You've seen so many different trends come and go. You've seen so many generations. You've lived through a lot. When younger people ask you for advice, and I'm talking any age, whether they're 10 years old, 20, or 50 years old, about how to live your life or things that maybe you think about more than you didn't when you were young, is there any specific advice that you would give people about living their lives?
I don't give advice.
Even if people ask you?
No.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to comment on that I didn't get a chance to ask you that you think people might want to know or be interested to know about your life so far?
No, but how much people take for granted today, we didn't have, especially during the Depression. During the Depression, my mother and father had a store. You know? The store didn't bring in enough money to even feed us, so my father went out and got another job. So he had a job starting about 4 in the morning, and then came back, took a nap in the back of the store, and worked in the store. And we all helped in the store. I was in charge. As children, we were in charge of the penny candy. And when children came in to buy penny candy, they would take 10 minutes to choose a piece of candy, because mm-hmm. It was a big thing to them to spend their few pennies and choose candy. Those were just times.
That's right. Well, you know what? You've had a very interesting life. You've had a successful and a healthy life, and you're 100 years old. We salute you here at WATD, and Catherine Ebert, we enjoyed talking with you so much. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.